I know you don't like the awkward pause, but I appreciate the time to just kind of ruminate with my thoughts. You know, to just stare at the time as it moves on and go, wow.
There's a couple more seconds of our lives stripping away.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Welcome to Direct-to-Video. VHS?
VHS.
A podcast where we pair movies like fine wine. Let me check the record real quick. Let me just check the past few movies we've done. According to this, it's been about 8 months since we've watched a movie that I would consider good.
That's fair. Reasonable,
like,
and accurate.
At all watchable.
Yeah. Like something that you would consider to be film.
Yes. It was Anastasia, which I know that we weren't particularly blown away with, but it was film, you know?
Now, and I would say that it's, you know, some people would argue that Anastasia is art. Not me, mm-hmm. but some people. I don't know if this movie is art, but this movie sure kicks ass.
This movie, I'm not sure if it's art, but it's definitely film.
Yeah.
It's like in the classic tradition of movies of just like, here is a story that you know basically everything that's about to happen as you watch it. But you like the character, so you're going to go with it anyway. So kind of just sit back, relax. This is all fine. This is going to work out just fine.
I actually watched a couple of episodes of, like, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Before watching this movie, just because I was in the mood. I was like, I want to get a warm-up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What's another 30 minutes of Scooby-Doo? God, they're so good. So we watched a 1998 vintage Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island.
What do you think of that title, Andy? Technically speaking, there are zombies on Zombie Island, but I feel like it buries the lead.
No, I think it's good. I think it's like a good misdirection.
We'll get into it probably near the end of the near the end of the episode. We'll get into it, but it was very strange to me how much voodoo adjacent stuff is happening that has fully nothing to do with the zombies. You expect zombies to be a certain, like, I mean, they're in Nyalans, there are zombies everywhere. You expect like a witch doctor or something, right? You expect the zombies to be following somebody's orders.
No, yeah. I get what you're saying. I think it's good though, right? Like the fact that it's like,
I mean, I do think it's a fun twist. I do like, I was watching it as Jamie, she was kind of confused by the reveal. And I was like, I don't know, I think it's better that this is just like much weirder than you expect.
No, I agree.
it doesn't really align with any particular like mythology.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like this almost makes sense, so let's run with it.
I mean, it really does feel like they're just kind of going for the moon on this one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's kind of the thing about these movies is when you're giving them like a full hour of runtime, because the classic Scooby-Doo eps were like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, there are longer Scooby-Doo episodes that they have occasionally made. You can do longer. But frankly, a lot of this movie felt like padding or establishing red herrings or stuff that was just like, this isn't important to the plot. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy stopped to eat a lot.
Yeah. It is. It really is just kind of an hour-long episode. And that means that you get all of the bad that comes with. But at the same time, I feel like until incredibly recently, mm-hmm. Scooby-Doo has had a pretty good rap in terms of, like, quality for its budget.
Sorry, I just remembered a skit that somebody did that was about how the one thing everybody on the internet came together on was hating the Velma TV show.
It truly is bad.
This movie starts, we get a classic Scooby-Doo start. It's a creepy castle, lightning, there's a storm, there is a... what would you call this? Like a Black Lagoon style creature?
Yeah, yeah, like a swamp thing in a castle.
Yeah, I mean, thematically, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
It's a hell of an aesthetic opening, though. Like,
yeah. It's just like, why wasn't it a ghost or a Dracul or something in a castle?
I mean, they could have even done, like, one of the classic monsters, I think, if they really wanted to go retro, right?
Like they're like that spaceman monster that they have to fight occasionally.
Yeah, or the creeper. It's a big one for me.
I mean, this is just a... not a particularly necessary opening, so it could have some flavor of having a classic Scooby villain, you know?
Yeah.
This monster's chasing him around. There is one thing that happens that is buck wild in this whole monster chase scene.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Velma and Daphne both fall off a cliff, and Fred grabs both of them. And then the monster attacks Fred, and he fucking lets go of Velma.
He has his priorities.
And it's never brought up again. She has to grab Daphne. She has to fall further and grab Daphne's leg while he tries to, like, fight the monster.
I mean, listen, it's a Sophie's choice, right?
He doesn't even think about it. And here's the funny thing, is it's not treated as, like, a... this isn't, like, a big moment. This is just a thing that happens.
You don't have time to think when you're being attacked by a swamp thing.
But, like, I feel like if this were... I feel like if this scene happened in any other movie, Velma would be mad at Fred about it.
That's fair.
But this movie's like, that doesn't matter, that was just a little bit of flavor we threw in there.
Yeah, 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 we gotta really establish the fact that this isn't your mom and dad, Scooby-Doo. They're getting all torn up.
So it turns out that this is a story that Daphne is telling on a talk show. The kind of talk show where the talk show host is being very polite, but frankly does not seem that entertained that she's here.
Yeah, you get the sense that, like, they're friends, but also, like...
I get bigger guests, Daphne.
Yeah, or it's like almost I was thinking of sometimes Craig Ferguson will have somebody on that he's had on a couple of times and he's like, you're really going to tell the same story again? It's like, yeah, I guess I am, Craig.
That was kind of an Irish Craig Ferguson.
You look, Scotland, Ireland's the cooler country. I realized in my heart, cause Scotland's not even a country.
So you know. This, this, this movie kind of follows the opener follows the same as the live action movie and probably a few others where they have, like, broken up, gone their separate ways at the beginning of this movie.
Although, unlike, I think, the others, this is kind of an amiable breakup. Like, it just seems like...
yeah, they were just like, this was a time in our lives and we're done with it. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, it almost seems kind of like, oh yeah, you know, just like... We all got kind of bored doing it, and, like, we're adults now, and we have jobs.
Yeah, Velma owns a bookstore, which she hates, which is kind of sad.
The realities of owning a store, I think, got to her.
Maybe, but, like, she's filing a huge order, and she does not seem at all excited for this giant payday she's going to get in 2 weeks.
Right, I know. That woman better have dropped that payment check order that day, actually.
Seriously.
Holding it for 2 weeks? Are you kidding?
That's so long. Scooby and Shaggy work at Customs, and genuinely a good job for them. Because at first I thought they were TSA agents, and I'm like, that's not a good job. But they work at Customs, which means they have to stop people from bringing in contraband food.
TSA didn't exist then.
It was 1998, a simpler time.
A simpler time.
Daphne, Fred. Excuse me. Fred. Daphne and Fred do this TV show together.
It's like a travel show?
It's not clear what they do. I guess it's a travel show, and they're doing, like, their next season is about haunted places.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes sense because that's what they are both into. But Daphne explicitly says that the reason the Mystery Gang broke up is because they kept just finding criminals. And there will be a montage later where they keep finding criminals. And I'm like, this is still pretty good, guys. Do you have any idea how many criminals you've got?
No, I mean, I think ultimately it's kind of a thing that Daphne points out is like, well, we've never found like a real haunted place. And so that's kind of her bucket list thing.
It's such a strange thing to get caught up on, because there are different interpretations that you can do of the Scooby Gang, but I've always liked the interpretation that they are fundamentally skeptics. Like, that's mm-hmm. why they go into these. Because they're like, this is somebody doing something.
For sure. I do like the, you know, the almost Harry Houdini-esque attitude of like, well, we want it to be true, but that doesn't mean we're not going to try to pull off the mask, you know?
Right. Like,
we're
they gotta pull off every mask. They gotta find every wire.
You know, I gotta say, the montages are, on the one hand, really, like, fun. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, this music that we're getting, right?
Oh, is this too on the nose for you?
The music is good. It's not that it's on the nose. It's just, it's very 90s.
Yeah, it's very late 90s, early 2000s.
And kinda. Also, specifically, it's Third Eye Blind.
Is it?
It is. It is just straight up Third Eye Blind and Sky Cycle.
Look, man, they gotta get into what the kids are into these days. This is their first movie that they're releasing on video.
On video. I think this was a TV release, and then it was released on video.
I would be a little bit surprised for this TV release, because there are some gore effects that are not gory by, like, my standards,
mm-hmm.
but by, like, a kid's show standards are. There is a bit where both the skeleton grows a bunch of skin and loses a bunch of skin, and both of those are kind of intense scenes.
Oh, man. It was released on VHS, although it was released on VHS at $19.95, like $20, ooh, which is pretty expensive.
They were going for it. Well, they gotta pay Third Eye Blind back.
Yeah, well, this movie had a pretty extensive budget, and it shows. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, the budget isn't listed because it's a direct-to-video film, so, like, who knows how much it cost, but, like, it looks better than, at this point, any other Scooby-Doo show that has existed, right? Because
I think that's fair.
What's New Scooby-Doo doesn't come out until 2003.
It's Hanna-Barbera, right? So it's all like recycled animation.
Well, at this point, Hanna-Barbera is like a shadow of its former self. It's being acquired by Warner Brothers. It's not really
the late 90s now. It's not exactly the same anymore.
Top Cat wasn't bringing in the money like it used to.
Yeah.
I think at this point, Scooby-Doo was kind of the only thing Hanna-Barbera had done that was like real, that was raking in the cash. Like, it was their big money maker. They had rebooted the series like 9 times at this point.
I feel like we have talked about this on like a direct to video before, but Scooby-Doo was so popular that they eventually turned all of their other stuff into Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
They gave Pebbles and Bam Bam and Dino a show where they were just doing the same thing.
No, absolutely. But I mean, that was also just their formula at the time,
mm-hmm.
was kind of the 4 kids and an animal or sidekick or whatever.
Right. Got Captain Caveman, got whatever that shark's name is.
You got the one with the car.
The car. Yeah, he's like a dune buggy or something.
I'm pretty sure there was one with the ghost, with the pirate ghost, which is very yeah. funny to me now that I say that out loud.
I feel like it talks like Snagglepuss, is that
yeah, is that correct? No, I think you're right. God, Snagglepuss. Oh, man. Come on. Are you really going to do this to me? Come on. Terrible. I know that that's like, because I'm an adult now, so many of these shows are like rip-offs of like some famous actor. Have no idea who that's ripping off. Don't want to look it up. Don't care. Some 40s guy probably.
I read a quite good Snagglepuss graphic novel that was Snagglepuss during the gay panic / communist panic of the 60s.
Oh man, that's amazing.
And it was like pretty good.
What a time to be Snagglepuss.
Ah, they should have gotten a quote from you. long story short, the gang, I mean, not even long story, it takes like 8 minutes for this to happen. The gang gets back together, they do that montage we talked about, and now they're in New Orleans, because they want a real haunted house, except for Shaggy and Scooby, who, of the gang, remain the most kind of two-dimensional. They're still like, we're afraid of everything and we want food.
They're like more two-dimensional, I think, than ever.
If somebody mentions a ghost, they're like, ugh! And it's like, guys, the ghost isn't here.
Yeah, and if somebody mentions food, they're like, you know, rummaging. And it's like, guys, come on, don't beg. It doesn't look good.
Also, if we're airing grievances.
Yeah.
I actually do have one real issue with this movie. Mm-hmm. I think Shaggy and Scooby are two-dimensional, but it's like, fine, they're Shaggy and Scooby. Velma does not get enough to do. You kind of forget that she's a character because Daphne and Fred have a whole, like...
This is really Daphne and Fred's movie.
Yeah, they have, like, a whole romance thing, and they are making this TV show together. And all I fucking know about Velma is that she doesn't like working at her bookshop, and she's still supposedly the smart one, but also Fred's kind of the smart one in this. So it just feels like Velma's, like, just kind of there.
Yeah, I mean, Velma has a couple of important... actual detective work scenes that she's doing.
Yeah, I guess that's what she's doing. It's just that because it's Scooby-Doo, the actual detective work is not that important. You know what I mean?
That's,
like,
that's
she figures some stuff out, but how badly does she need to figure it out?
I mean, it's interesting stuff at least, right?
Yeah, I think they could have done more.
I guess the reason why I'm not so bothered by it, maybe I'd be more bothered by it at the time. The reason I'm not so bothered by it is, like, I know we're about to get like 50 more of these things.
Yeah, and there are 50 more of them. In Mystery Inc., they put in another Velma.
Yeah.
Famously.
Velma's going to have her time to shine.
That she's going to get the worst TV show ever animated.
Yeah, and then she's going to have her time to not shine, you know? And it's not Velma's fault. Yeah, I think, and I mean, I like these characterizations of Fred and Daphne. I think they're pretty good. I also think it's a very interesting choice, right? To be like, well, let's make Fred and Daphne kind of the main characters.
I feel like this is the version of Fred and Daphne who will, some version of this version of them will move on to the future. The idea of Daphne being like having the TV show, and she's not like, so again, Velma's a smart one, but Daphne's not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this gives her something to do when before she would just fall into a hole. The classic Daphne move is to fall into a hole. I don't know if they ever come back to the idea that they're doing a TV show again, but it gives them a good excuse to, like, drive around the country, running into ghosts.
I don't think they ever do. Because this show explicitly takes place, like, post their kind of high school years, right?
Right.
They're adults now, but I think that...
Sorry, pause 1 second. The understanding is that for some fucking reason, they're driving around the country in their high school years.
Yes.
Finding ghosts.
The 60s were a wild time, man.
And just taking care of that as a problem.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you.
I have seen it posited that it was their last summer before college that they did this.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me.
But it's such a fascinating setup.
It really is. It really is a thing that you, like, think about it for two more... If you think about it longer than it takes to say it, you really quickly run into, wait, hold on, they're how old?
Right. I remember as a kid... When they were called meddling kids, I was like, I was pretty sure those were adults.
I'm trying to figure out in What's New Scooby-Doo what the kind of idea for the franchise was, but it won't say.
Oh, well. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I think I interrupted you. Because they're like, I don't know, either in their late teens or early 20s now.
Yeah, and so I don't think any show ever goes back to that. Goes back to, like, oh, they're just adults now.
Right.
In the same way, I think that would be fascinating if they did that.
Well, I wonder if the movies do, though. Do the movies continue along this line? Does this start a timeline? Have I watched the beginning of a series now that I've seen this?
I can tell you that the second movie is like a direct follow-up to this movie, but I think after that, they're just kind of their own thing. or they follow the What's New Scooby-Doo kind of aesthetic. Although it's hard for me to tell.
They're in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They meet a random lady whose name is, they said it like a million times, I don't remember it. Darla, is it?
Laura?
I don't think it's Laura.
Lena Dupre.
Oh, and that's Tara Strong. How about that?
Oh.
So she's like, hey, I heard you guys were looking for a haunted house. You should check out the house that I work at. It's so haunted. It's, like, got so many ghosts. It's chock-a-block full of ghosts. And they're like, cool, sounds great. And Fred flirts with her, like, a little. And then they get on this ferry driven by Jim Cummings.
Always nice to have Jim Cummings around.
Always nice to have Jim Cummings around. Did you identify, Jamie found this out when she was Googling stuff, did you identify the other voice actor in this scene?
Not until the credits hit.
Yeah! Snakebite Scruggs, who is a fisherman who just wants to catch this famous catfish, and he has a wild boar that he keeps with him, is played by Mark Hamill, and it fully does not sound like it.
Yeah, he also voices the customs agent that fires Shaggy and Scooby.
Wow, he's really under the radar today.
Yeah, and I saw the credit. I saw the credits, and I was like, one of these people is Mark Hamill, and I don't know who.
So they get to the island. They meet the gardener. Oh, sorry. Scooby gets pissy about cats, apparently.
This is new, I think.
I think Scooby is a real asshole about cats. Shaggy straight up lies to Lena and says that, oh, Scooby's good with cats.
He's all right. As
Scooby sees a cat, he yells, rats, and starts running after them, destroying everything in his path. So the gardener hates them.
The gardener, the most suspicious character, like, ever put to screen.
The man is so obviously a cop.
Right?
I mean, maybe it's because to me it was so obvious that it was, that the bad guys were Lena and Simone, her boss. And then, yeah, this gardener is so suspicious that he's not a fucking gardener. So he's a cop. Like, that's the only other
possibility. Right.
Or a PI. Sometimes you could be a PI.
But yeah, like, yeah, yeah. But he's here on, like, authoritative purposes.
Right. Whenever, I do like how, for, like, the first half of the movie, whenever anybody says anything to him, he just grumbles. He's like, and I don't know why. Somebody asks him why he's digging, like, a fucking 6-foot hole, and he's just like, rawr, 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 and walks away. Yeah, way to keep suspicion off you, dude.
I love that line that Velma says. I believe she says, what are you burying? Elephants? That hole is huge. And it's like, that's this guy's not good at being a gardener, all right?
It got away from me. So there's a lot of food antics, which is, again, I get it. We need it. It's necessary for the movie.
Yeah.
There's too much of it.
It's, the movie's only like 70 minutes long. You could have made it a cool 60.
Simone hates Scooby. She hates dogs. She says dog in the same way that you would say, like, motherfucker.
Yeah. Also, what an amazing accent. Jim Cummings, who's doing his best to do, like, a Louisiana accent, just sounds like Jim Cummings doing a Louisiana accent.
Also did not like Jim Cummings' Creole accent. I was like, that's not bad.
It's pretty bad. It's not quite as bad as, like, Knives Out, but it is on the turf of that, you know? Like, it's playing soccer with that accent. But Simone, fantastic. What a kick-ass accent. I was like, oh, we're in Nolens now.
Yeah, we're in Nolens. She's really selling it. A dearth of black people in this movie, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, it's like, it should be said that we're getting the whitest possible version of New Orleans, complete with Confederate soldiers.
Yeah. Although, at one point, I think there were some Union soldiers, so I kind of want to know what the story was there. They just weren't all wearing the same uniform, and...
No, I agree. It was weird.
So they get their first ghost sighting. Shaggy and Scooby see a disembodied something scratching on the wall. Get out. Beware.
Yeah.
And Simone says this great line, which is, oh, you're not going to heed the pirate's warning?
to like, which, nah. Yeah, I think Fred explicitly says, it's probably just some, guy who's after the treasure.
Right.
Like, it's fine.
Well, we find out later that this pirate was in the wildest twist of the movie, the ghosts are literally trying to scare them away from the bad shit.
No, yeah,
it's like the inverse of a usual Scooby-Doo.
I love this. This is such a good twist to me of, like, actually, the zombies are the good guys. Spoiler alert, the zombies are the good guys. I think that Velma says, I believe.
Yes, she does say that at one point, which is a very funny thing. I think I wrote down her next line, which was much funnier, but we'll leave it for later. This, Fred gets a pretty good line here because Velma starts floating. And Fred says, we've been levitated before.
There's always magnets or wires somewhere.
he's an old hand at this. And they're like, there doesn't seem to be magnets or wires. This seems legit. Side note, when all this mysterious stuff started happening, they obviously pointed the camera at it, right? They appear to be recording this on a potato. And by that I mean every time we see the screen that they're recording on, it is the shittiest screen I have ever seen in anything. It's like constantly flickering.
Okay, well, it was 1998, portable video technology.
They're not getting it from the fucking... they're not getting it from the fucking air. They're not getting the signal in. It's on a tape.
I think you run into the problem of, well, it's a cartoon. How do we let people know that this is a video?
It's just, they lean so far into it. It is the most ridiculous looking video. It's basically like the Star Wars blue holograms. Like, it's that low poly.
Oh, it would have been great if it was like just absurd pixel art or something.
Yeah, and then Frank would be like, it always comes out like this. So then they eat dinner, I think. No, I guess there's another ghost? No, they eat dinner.
They eat dinner. They find, well, they investigate the recording. They find out that there's a pirate ghost. And I believe at this point, Velma scratches off a part of the kitchen wall.
Right, and it's the part of the pirate ship has been built into this
house.
And she just tore off, like, a big chunk of their kitchen wall with a spatula.
That's true.
Very good. Very, very aggro, Velma.
Yeah, this is when we get the expose that there is buried treasure somewhere on the island.
Yeah, and Fred's like, oh, this is it. Somebody's trying to scare us away from the buried treasure.
Probably obviously. That really suspicious gardener.
And he's digging. It makes sense. He says a line. I don't think it's here. I think it's later. He says a line like, oh, it's probably somebody trying to keep people away from the buried treasure or the land rights, or maybe there's oil. And it just made me remember how many times they fucking find oil in Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So they do eat dinner, but Scooby's not allowed to eat at the table because he's a filthy dog. It's great.
Isn't it weird how much Simone dislikes dogs?
She hates dogs. Like, she has like a million cats.
She does have a million cats. That's weird. Probably nothing.
Probably nothing. They
Although I'll tell you what, Scooby is fucking, again, aggro about the cats. And for what turns out to be no reason. They're not special cats.
Yeah, they're just cats.
So they eat in the mystery machine, Shaggy and Scooby, because Shaggy doesn't let Scooby eat alone, even though Scooby eats all Shaggy's food all the time.
And, Shaggy seems pretty miffed about it, but he's like, this is my lot in life. This is what happens when a dog is your best friend, is they eat a lot of your food.
Yeah. The cats are, like, all over his car. So he's like, okay, we're going to drive out into the middle of nowhere so we can eat in peace. So they go and eat in peace.
This is intercut with a wild conversation at the dinner table where Simone mentions that there were Confederate barracks on the island. And also, this used to be a famous chili pepper plantation.
She does say that, doesn't she? Although, you know what? The plantation only lasted for a year, so perhaps there wasn't as much plantationing as,
I don't know.
As you might first think of. There's a subplot that they have really spicy chili peppers. Do you know what? Even though these are the spiciest chili peppers, like, in the world or whatever, this is also unimportant. This does not play into anything. It's not part of it.
It doesn't matter at all, although...
I kept on wondering if there were going to be voodoo chili peppers somehow. It's like, every time they run into a zombie, they're eating a chili pepper. Is that important?
It really not. Is just Shaggy and Scooby, just guys being dudes, doing a hot pepper challenge every time we cut to them.
Yeah, they eat so much peppers, and they don't like them.
I mean, I think they love them.
They end up in a fucking hole. I don't even remember how this happened.
Well, okay, so they start eating... And then they get accosted by zombies.
They can't get accosted by zombies before they end up in the hole. The first zombie is in the hole.
Oh, shit.
Unless, was that earlier that that happened?
That had to have been earlier because we already referenced it, right?
Yeah, so in a pretty metal scene, they fell into a big hole and there was a skeleton hand in it and it grew skin, but like not a lot of skin.
Yeah.
Only enough to be a zombie. And then I guess they go back and eat food and whatever. And so now there are a bunch of zombies just flat out chasing them in the car. And the car gets stuck in mud, so they have to run out of the car. At one point, there's quicksand. And I gotta say, there's always quicksand in these things. And quicksand is more fake than ghosts.
And I know that, like, yeah, quicksand can be dangerous, blah, 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 blah.
Well, quicksand, the thing that quicksand is not the thing that it is.
Yeah. It's more like, it's more akin to like a sinkhole or something.
And I'm not sure that there's any in the bayou. Maybe there is. I mean, there could be, there certainly be a sinkhole in the bayou.
That's the thing is I think they just were like quicksand and it's like, I don't know. That just looks like swamp to me, man. That the swamp do just be like that though.
Just swim in it, I guess. Although, we do learn at one point that you don't want to fucking swim in the swamp because the gators will swarm you in a, very gruesome scene for a Scooby-Doo movie. I know they don't technically show anything, but
I love that scene. I love that scene so much. Yeah, so they're driving around in the Mystery Machine, Shaggy and Scooby. They're accosted by zombies. They get the Mystery Machine stuck in the mud in a rookie mistake. Gunning it while they're in a mud zone. You don't do that. You gotta wait for the wheels to get traction. Otherwise, you're just, you know, you're digging your own grave.
Put some cat litter under there or something.
Exactly. With all the fucking shit Fred has in the back of that van.
It's like a whole setup back there for something.
Yeah, for a traveling TV show, Tony.
I mean, we only ever see him with one camera.
A single camera. And
he makes backups at the van because they lose all the footage by dropping the camera.
Oh, this... On the one hand, this pissed me off. On the other hand, I was like, yeah, you gotta do it. Like,
yeah. So the others hear Shaggy and Scooby, I think, screaming. So they go to look for them. They split up fucking immediately in the wildest move. Velma goes with the guy they think is doing it.
Mm-hmm.
My girl's like 4'10".
And he's immediately like, why are you guys treating me like I'm some kind of criminal? Like I'm some kind of suspect.
And she's like, you're a suspect! And gets really aggro about it. And I was like, Velma's gonna die.
I was half expecting Velma to like, yeah, immediately start interrogating him.
But then that's when he reveals, oh, it's quicksand. I just saved your life. Nonsense.
And then she's like, still a suspect though. Still a criminal.
It cuts back to Daphne and Fred, who have discovered the abandoned Mystery Machine. They get kind of half-heartedly attacked by a zombie, kind of like flops down in front of them. And Shaggy and Scooby show up, and they rip the zombie's head off.
Yes.
Daphne gets a pretty good line, which is, you're not a skeptic, you're in denial.
Yes, which is very good. But also, Daphne, he's not in denial. He's in Louisiana.
Terrible. I can't believe I allowed you to continue that sentence.
We get tourist zombies here.
I feel like that's the biggest moment you're like, oh no, something is really fucked here.
Yeah, because you get the, like, you know, you get pirate zombies, you get, like, Civil War zombies, like you said, of varying colors. So, like, uniform colors, I mean. And right. So you're like, okay, yeah, yeah, that's normal. And then you get tourist zombies. And, like, at one point you get, like, a 70s prima donna zombie.
Yeah, it's like, what has been happening here? We're going to find out soon. It's actually all coming to a head. They go back to the mansion.
Yeah.
Everybody gets back together, is back at the mansion. Then, again, immediately splits up. Like, these dipshits. I guess, actually, no. Shaggy and Scooby get separated again. They run off. And the others go back to the mansion. Because Shaggy and Scooby have to discover the voodoo dolls. Which is a weird moment. Because Shaggy and Scooby find the voodoo dolls and start playing with them. And it affects the others. But here's the thing. They don't know it. And the others don't know it, so this is just for us.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit odd to me, that they would bother showing us the voodoo dolls. Maybe they didn't want it to feel like it came out of nowhere later?
Yeah, yeah, because it does kind of come out of nowhere in that moment.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody suspected voodoo dolls at any point during this investigation. The one clue was that Velma had lost her eyeglass cleaner.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, that seems like something that's probably she doesn't care enough about or specifically have on her enough to be important enough to be used in voodoo, but maybe that's just me.
I'm gonna be real with you, I lose these fucking things all the time.
Yeah, you just grab a new one. They're not important.
Or you just use your shirt. Whatever you gotta do, but yeah, apparently this was like Velma's like vintage, passed down in the family, glasses cleaning microfiber cloth. That's why she's so on edge and she's like, you are a suspect.
She's like, I can't see without my glasses, but metaphorically, I can't see without my glasses cleaning wipe.
If you really think about it.
It's like I can't feel without it.
Fred immediately gets like macked on by Lena at this point.
Extremely suspicious activity, and she tells a blatant lie about Simone being dragged away. And Velma's like, that's a lie. I'm looking at footprints.
And Fred's just kind of like, I'm sorry, I'm not doing this on purpose, I swear. I think Fred and Daphne do this on purpose. This is how they keep their relationship alive.
Yeah, 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 for sure, for sure, for sure. They just flirt with other people. I mean, I think this version of Fred and Daphne are 100% trying to get each other's attention. They have kind of weird vibes in this movie. I don't know why they don't just have them in a relationship since they went off together without everybody else. But they decided not to.
I mean, it's heavily implied. I think it's just one of those things where it's like, you can't have too big of a change, right?
You think they wanted to work up to it?
Maybe. I'm not sure. It is kind of weird. It is very like, why aren't you guys in a relationship vibes? For sure.
Yeah, you guys are basically already dating. So just, like, go on a date.
But every time they try to go on a date, it's like, oh, this place is haunted.
For some reason, we brought our three friends, one of whom is a dog.
We get another amazing Velma line here. As soon as they get taken into this, like, underground secret cave atrium, Velma immediately says, looks to me like a place for voodoo rituals. Velma, how do you know that?
She's Velma. All right, so we get the backstory now.
This is amazing. This is so good.
Actually, pause before the backstory real quick, because Shaggy and Scooby do run into Jim Cummings, who is also a cat person.
Oh, sorry, we should explain that Lena and Simone and Jacques, Jim Cummings, they're werecats. They're big, evil werecats. Who are also vampires that suck the life out of
you. Yeah, they're kind of like life vampires. They just have to grab you, but they have to do it on the night of the Harvest Moon. And the night of the Harvest Moon is the only time that they turn into cats. They're cat people, cat monsters, whatever they are. So it is, frankly, as far as like everlasting curses go, pretty mm-hmm. chill. They live as humans for 364 days of the year, 365 on leap years. And all they have to do is kill an unspecified number of people.
Yeah, you know?
But, like, not one, more than one.
I think what it is just everybody on the island.
But they lured these people onto the island despite the fact that they had the gardener. So they must have to kill more. Do they have to kill as many as there are cat people? Very unclear.
It is not specified, and ultimately, because it's Scooby-Doo, doesn't matter.
Right. So, but they will absorb their life force and kill them.
It's very Sleepwalkers, which is a Stephen King movie from 1992, by the way.
This shit is so specific that it made me wonder what the plot of the famous B-movie Cat People is. Because I have heard that it's a shockingly good movie, like made by somebody who really knows what he's doing, who just had no money to make a movie, and so got hired to make like schlocky B-movies.
Mm-hmm.
And he made brilliant schlocky B-movies.
Interesting.
We might have to watch it at some point, just for my own edification.
But just a quick fun fact about Sleepwalkers, Stephen King's mm-hmm. Sleepwalkers, is that a really terrible-looking Mark Hamill is in that as well.
Ah, Mark Hamill's all over these.
Yeah, he was in that movie. He's in that movie for like 2 minutes, and as a cop who like finds a crime scene and is like, oh no, it's terrible, but he just doesn't look, he doesn't look like he's having a great time.
So, we get this flashback. This is...
Again.
This flashback is some wild shit.
It's so good. So...
We need to sit with this flashback for a second.
So, Lena and Simone were a part of a group of settlers back... Like, French settlers back in the, like,
17... Pagan yeah. French settlers!
Thank you, yes. Pagan French settlers back in the 1700s who worshipped a cat god and decided to move to this island.
How did this happen?
You could write a whole fucking movie about this alone. But we're not done because, you know, they're sitting there having a happy, quote unquote, peaceful time.
Yeah, all right, so, like, okay, quick pause. Just so I'm clear here. Mm-hmm. Under normal circumstances, the cat god does not demand sacrifice.
Yeah, the cat god seemed to have been happy with just being recognized, I guess.
But if you ask something of the cat god demands a price, I think is what's gonna happen.
No, absolutely, because they get attacked by pirates, but by mm-hmm. Moonscar. Because
he's got a moon-shaped scar. That's why, in case you're wondering. That's not why he attacked, that's why he's got that name. So they do something I found very funny, which is they just knock over all their food.
Yep.
Holy unnecessary, guys. That looked like good food. You could have eaten
that.
And then they do something that is not funny, and that is genuinely...
I think it's pretty funny.
Okay, to be fair, it's a little funny.
It's a little funny.
But, like... It fucking got me. It's like, this is genuinely a horrendous thing to have happened. They chase the settlers into the swamp, and because of the rating this movie has, which has to be like G, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe PG. They don't kill these settlers.
No.
They don't stab them with their swords.
They chase them into the swamp.
And then we see hordes of alligators just swimming towards them. And we see Simone and, what's her face? Lena. We see Simone and Lena, and they are just, like, watching aghast, because we know that they've just all been torn apart by gators.
Yeah.
Very good. So they're all dead. Everybody except for Lena and Simone, who go and pray to their cat god for revenge.
Yes.
And it works.
They pray to their cat god for revenge, and the cat god turns them into werecats, and they kill all of the pirates, immediately turning them into zombies. But they find out that just as the pirates will never have eternal rest, they will be forever alive and cursed as werecats.
So something that is unclear to me, I feel like I should mention it now because it's about the time... It's not clear why the whole zombie thing has come to a head today. When Jim Cummings was going to capture Scooby and Shaggy, 20 zombies fucking piled on him like, fuck you, Jim Cummings!
Mm-hmm.
This fucking Pocahontas dad asshole driving a boat.
Hate it.
They're like, get his ass, right?
But he shakes them off.
He does shake them off, but like, The same thing happens a little bit later with the other two, and it kind of seems like they are unprepared for the sheer amount of zombies that they have.
Yeah,
but surely they should know how many zombies they have.
They've been doing this for like 200 years, for almost as long as, you know, the country of the United States has existed. That's a lot of people.
And it's not like one person a year. They will kill everybody on the island, which at one point was an entire plantation.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bunch of Confederate soldiers. And then maybe some Union soldiers who, like, came by to rest at one point. It's very unclear how the Union soldiers got there.
Maybe there was, like, a battle. I'm imagining a battle, and then...
I would have loved to see the scene where they were battling on the night of the harvest moon.
And then all of a sudden, they get taken out one by one by two werecats.
Amazing.
And then they have to team up, and it's like, oh, you know, we hate each other, but we gotta do something about this werecat business, but it's too late.
Again, it's unclear why suddenly the zombies are a problem for these werecats, but they are.
Well, they got something to fight for. They gotta fight for this Scooby gang.
Yeah, everybody else wasn't worth it. The one thing I will say is that I genuinely liked the reveal that the evil pirate was leaving them notes like, you guys gotta leave.
Y'all gotta go.
You gotta go, because they're cat people.
They're vampire cat people who are gonna suck the life out of you.
The ladies have these voodoo dolls. This is how they capture people. Which is weird because it's never really been brought up before. I mean, we saw the voodoo dolls, but why do they know voodoo? Is voodoo part of this? It doesn't seem to be.
Who knows, man?
They have these voodoo dolls made with, quote, magic wax, end quote.
Well, they only have voodoo dolls for Fred, Daphne, Velma, and Bo the gardener.
Truly my favorite part of the movie, genuinely, that they're like, we so don't believe in Shaggy and Scooby as a problem. We so don't believe that they will be a problem that we just fully don't bother taking care of them. They might be killed by the zombies or a big pit in the ground or our other werecat friend. It doesn't matter. We don't care.
They say that Shaggy and Scooby are a waste of time and a waste of magic wax.
Hilarious.
So good. And, you know, they're right, but
no, they underestimate the power. It's pure hubris. And Scooby are... do you want to know why Shaggy and Scooby are in the Scooby gang? It's because they fucking find the ghost every time.
Every time.
Every time. And they... Here's the other thing. They get away from the ghost every time. Often they smash down an entire wall and find, like, a secret cellar or something. Shaggy and Scooby... Even if it's just that they're extremely lucky, that is a skill.
Absolutely it is. So they show up, shenanigans ensue.
Sorry, I want to make this clear. Everybody's trapped because they put little ropes around the voodoo dolls.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Shaggy and Scooby show up and they, like, smash into it and there are shenanigans. Everybody almost melts, which is very off-putting. Because the dolls, like, roll near a flame, which I thought was going to destroy the voodoo dolls,
same.
Right? But it doesn't.
No, instead it makes them start to melt, which is a little horrifying.
Start to melt like wax! And then the voodoo dolls get rolled away from the wax, and they're like, oh, and everything's fine now, I guess. Christ.
Velma manages to untie her voodoo doll entirely using her feet, which is impressive. Yeah, or, you know, sexy, depending on how you think about it.
I might cut that. Occasionally, I'll make an offhand joke, and I'm like, I know that some of my family members listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've said that, I feel like I have to keep it in. Do you know what? Like, I find it much funnier when somebody says they're going to cut something from a podcast that's still in.
And then they don't.
God, that's hilarious. Fuck.
It's funny every time. So they managed to get unvoodoo doll themselves, and then they take some of the, like, torn cloth from when the Lena and
Simone,
thank you, turn into werecats to voodoo doll them. They start throwing them around. At one point, Scooby and Shaggy do get their soul sucked.
Can I tell you the thought that I had right this moment?
Yeah.
I was like, you guys gotta kill them. Like,
throw the voodoo dolls into the fire.
Are the Scooby Gang gonna kill him? Because, like, these people have murdered so many people, they're, like, literally eternally cursed. There is no reason, there is no moral way for them to not kill them, but still killing them would be a step too far, right? So I was like, how does this end?
I mean, I was like, okay, so, like, some shenanigans are gonna ensue, and they're gonna, like, throw these voodoo dolls into the fire or something. That was the, right? Like, we were set up for that.
I do not know if I would be able to sleep at night if I accidentally murdered somebody by throwing a voodoo doll in a fire.
But they're like werecat vampires whose souls suck to your friends.
No. I mean, I'm not saying that they shouldn't do it. I'm saying that in that moment, making an accident might be worse than doing it on purpose.
Oh, I see. Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, because that is kind of what happens is, you know, they just fuck around enough that it's no longer the harvest moon.
They fuck around, and in the end, they have found out that if the cat people do not kill somebody before the harvest moon, they just die in, again.
This animation kicks so much ass. It's
extremely intense.
They wither away into, like, from cat people to, like, half cat, half human to, like, zombie to skeleton to dust in what is the sickest, like, hardcorest piece of animation I've ever seen in a Scooby-Doo product.
It's amazing. I hope we get a lot more weird nonsense like that in the next movie. Then the same thing happens to the zombies, and I need to read maybe my favorite line out of this movie. This is said by Velma. Shaggy says, "Why are the zombies disappearing?" Velma says, "Their spirits have been avenged, Shaggy." which has the same energy as, "This is where my parents were murdered, Raphael."
No, it really does. Velma has some of the best lines in the movie. Like, we complained a bit about how she doesn't have that much to do, but they did give her some great lines.
She does have good lines, and we'll accept this.
That she just has to say. Like, earlier in the movie, when she, like, scrapes off the kitchen wall, Simone is like, "What did you do to my kitchen?" And she says, "I guess I got carried away."
The most suspicious thing about Simone, the reason that it's so obvious that she's the bad guy, is that at no point does she kick them the fuck out.
The lengths at which she goes to extend her hospitality, they do not, like, the Scooby Gang does not deserve. And we know, because if you've watched the show, they get kicked out of everywhere they go.
Right, so the fact that this lady's like, "What, you fucking tore up my kitchen, your dog keeps chasing my cats around. Let's have dinner."
I would love it if you stayed the night.
I would love it if you stayed the night. Absurd. Obviously, she's the bad guy. I feel like this, if I have a slight complaint about the mystery of this, it's very obvious because they throw so many red herrings at you and they never suspect the obvious people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make them at least look like a red herring first, you know?
Yeah.
But they don't, and it's fine.
I mean, I think Jacques being thrown in as also a werecat was a very odd touch, because they don't explain, like, what his deal is. He's not in the flashback.
No, they do, like, kind of offhand. They said they needed somebody to drive the ferry, and he wanted to be immortal. So I guess they can just, like, do that ritual again. But they've only done it once.
Okay.
Or twice now.
Because, yeah, at the end of the movie, I found myself, like, unclear as to, like, how Jacques was involved in this.
Yeah, it was just like, it was a weird thing that she throws out randomly.
So, they die in the coolest way possible. Right. The gang is like, "Man, what a crazy adventure. It's too bad no one will ever believe us." And then at this point, Bo is like, "Well, actually, I'm secretly a cop. And I also don't think anyone's gonna believe us."
Yeah, "I'm a cop and nobody's gonna believe us. I'm gonna go home and drink heavily. But first I'm gonna flirt with Velma, which is completely unearned, sir."
I mean, listen, I think he really enjoyed her being like, "No, you are a suspect."
No, I think he enjoyed it. I think she's out of his league.
Oh, 110%. He's a hunk. He's kind of a hunk. He's got hunk qualities.
He is very muscly. You get the idea that these couple months undercover digging up the
the earth.
digging up the earth has made him like real big, really carry somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got Chris Redfield in Resident Evil 5 energy, which is to say, stupid and ineffective, but large.
Large, a big guy.
And that's the movie. The gang is like, I guess we're back together again. Let's go have some more adventures.
This is the first movie we have seen in, again, 8 months that I have found not offensive. You know?
I would straight up say this movie, again, kicks ass. It's good. It's watchable in today's world, except for like the weird Confederate stuff.
So here's, let me tell you my one big issue with this movie.
Yeah.
There are other Scooby-Doo movies.
Yes.
And I'm sure, like, half of them are better, at least.
Because
there's so many of them.
I don't know.
I randomly, at one point, watched Scooby-Doo and the 13th Ghost.
Also good.
Which is a movie sequel for the very bad TV show Scooby-Doo and the 13 Ghosts.
Yes.
But Scooby-Doo and the 13th Ghost is fucking great.
No, yeah, like, I think that as the movies go on, they tend to kind of dip in the middle a little bit, but, like, this movie, I think, is kind of, like, even for Scooby-Doo, it's kind of an all-time classic for me.
I do think it sets a standard, right? Because this is, like, we are trying a direct-to-video movie now. This is what we want them to look like.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, this is what they're going to look like to this day. Like,
and I think they've done a fairly good job with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my favorite version of Scooby-Doo, but it's like a good version of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. So let me spit some facts at you about this movie's production. Mostly one big story, I think. This was like the first, I think, official direct-to-video movie. They did like a couple of movies before Scooby-Doo Goes Hollywood, Scooby-Doo Meets the Boo Brothers, that kind of ilk. Those were just like 1 hour TV specials.
Ghoul School too, right?
And there was another one in there. But yeah, those were all like hour-long TV specials. They weren't...
They probably didn't have like badass humans melting scenes, huh?
No, I don't think so. Although Boo Brothers does have a wild Confederate plot line.
Great.
It's so weird to me that in the 90s it was just okay to throw that around. Like, how do you know a place is haunted? Well, there used to be a Confederate barracks here. It's like, yeah, I guess that's pretty fucking haunted information to have. You're right.
That's like the worst kind of ghost.
This movie was one, it was supposed to be released in theaters, but they decided that Warner Brothers was like, you know what, Scooby-Doo just, we don't think Scooby-Doo has enough pull to get people into a theater seat. We'll just release it as like a kind of a high-tier direct-to-video. The animation was done in Japan by a company, I believe, called Mook Studios Limited. So the directors of the movie, this is the most inaccurate Wikipedia page I've read in a long time, by the way, because it says that they're not credited, but they are credited.
I saw the credits. They're explicitly credited.
Yeah, the animation directors were Hiroshi Aoyama and Kazumi Fukushima. So I want to shout them out because, again, some really kick-ass animation is happening in this movie.
So these sound like Japanese names. Yes. Is it a Japanese studio? Because the transformation scene looked like it came out of an anime.
No, it absolutely is 110%.
Okay, yeah. When I say transformation scene, I mean, sorry for the people at home, I do mean the moment that everybody turns into cat people. It looks like something that could have happened in like Dragon Ball Z.
No, it is sick. It's very well done. So yeah, Mook Animation is a Japanese studio explicitly, and they're going to handle the animation for like the next three films.
Okay, cool.
So that's something to look forward to. I believe, so Jim Stenstrom is listed as like the overall film director. I don't know what that means in this case. I think maybe he was probably just in charge of directing like the overall storyboards and like final cut privileges. But this was like a heavily studio informed film, basically, because it was done for the 30th anniversary of the franchise. And like I said, at this point, Scooby-Doo's in kind of a dip. It's like 10 years since like anything big Scooby-Doo came out. But because reruns were being aired on Cartoon Network, Time Warner was like, we gotta hit it while the iron's hot. And they wanted to get as many of the original voice actors back as possible. There were a couple of problems with this. One, the voice actor for Velma, I believe, had fully retired. So they brought back the voice actress for Velma, who voice acted her, I believe, in... Oh, it was for the Johnny Bravo crossover episode. They got back the original voice actress for Daphne Blake, but after a day's worth of recording, the voice actor's like, you know what? I don't think I have it in me. I'm going to hand it off to Mary Kay Bergman, because I just don't think I can hit that octave anymore. The voice actor who played Scooby-Doo had passed away a couple of years before, so they brought Scott Innes, and so we're cutting. It's very sad.
The very strange thing to me, though, is that it's not Frank Welker, who I'm used to playing Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Frank Welker doesn't take the role until What's New Scooby-Doo.
Huh. Okay. Because the other thing is, like, he's all animal voices.
Yes, he is also the voices of all the animals and one of the zombies. So they offer the role of Shaggy to Casey Kasem again, who hadn't done it at this point in like 10 years. And Casey Kasem says only on the condition that Shaggy is vegetarian, because okay. He had recently like gone all in on vegetarianism. And the studio said...
Sure, but Shaggy, okay.
Yeah, so the studio was like, well, Shaggy's whole thing is that he eats everything. Also, we already animated the scene where he's eating a bunch of crawdads.
Yeah, it's my cousin just came back from Louisiana, and she was like, you would have a hard time down there. It's hard to find vegetarian food in Louisiana.
it's not in the culture. They were like, listen, like, we're just not going to do that. And he was like, well, then I don't want to do the role. And they were like, okay. And so they bring in Billy West to do the role. They offer it to Casey Kasem again. And Casey Kasem's like, still no.
They're sounding a little desperate at this point.
Billy West records all of his lines, and they go to Casey Kasem one last time. And they're like, we will let you redub over everything if you'll just come back as Shaggy. And he's like, no, I'm not going to do it unless you make him vegetarian. And I'm like, all right, fine. And so, but I feel kind of bad for Billy West.
Who was a perfectly acceptable Shaggy.
Yeah, he did all right. He did a good job.
And it's not like he can't do voice acting.
Right? At this point, Frank Welker's getting cold feet. He's like, I'm on the chopping block, guys. Like, I'm 20 years older than I was when I started doing this voice role. I think we've mentioned before that Frank Welker explicitly made Fred's voice just his voice for job security.
That's pretty good.
In those 20 years, his voice did drop an octave. So he's in the recording booth, he's doing the lines, and the producers keep telling him, you gotta push it up higher. Your voice isn't high enough. And at one point, he finally snaps at them and he says, hey, his voice is just my voice. I'm doing it right. Go check the tapes. Go watch an old episode. I bet I sound exactly the same. So the producers go watch an old episode and they're like, oh wow, he does sound exactly the same. And then one of the sound tech guys says, yeah, you're probably confused because on TV, they speed up the episodes to fit commercial breaks.
They do not. That's insane.
Yeah.
Why don't they just cut an episode to fit with commercials?
Don't know.
That's the wildest thing I've ever heard.
Because, I mean, a lot of the Scooby-Doo show, like, those episodes were produced in, like, a different time, right? When, like...
Right.
Commercials as we think of them today didn't exist, because the episodes are already cut for specific time slots. Instead of trying to recut them to fit a different time slot, they would just speed them up to fit the commercial hit time, which is insane. So Frank was allowed to keep his role. I believe Frank is the only original, the only voice actor of the original crew who's still doing it to this day.
I mean, good on him. That is job security at that point.
He's 78 and he's still doing it. That's crazy. Sorry, that's wild to me. To be the voice of a character so consistently over the course of, like, my lifetime. But yeah, I found that story to be really funny and also really sad. They tried really hard to get the original cast back. This group, I believe, does go on to be, like, the Scooby gang for like, the next, you know, 15 or so years.
But will we ever see Snakebite Scruggs again?
I don't think we will, but I bet you that we are going to see Mark Hamill again.
It would be actually weird if we didn't.
This is a point in Mark Hamill's life where, you know, he's just kind of doing whatever. Not to, like, dunk on him. I don't think he was, like, unhappy. From what I've heard in interviews, during this time he's doing Batman the Animated Series, and this is, like, the best time of his life.
Oh, yeah. I think he quite liked and likes being a voice actor more than an actor.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Direct to Video. VHS.
VHS.
I've been your host, Tony Robusto.
I've been your host, Andy Reyes.
You can find me on Blue Sky at Therabats or at inspiredbytrueevents.org.
We've been working on something in the back end for a couple of weeks now. We are going to be putting Time Wonder Pictures on hiatus because it's too much work, too much research, and we just don't have time. But in order to kind of like fulfill our my creative and our creative obligations, me and May have decided to kind of start something that's a little bit more fun, a little bit more lighthearted, which is if you go to...
Serial killing.
Yes, sort of, if you think about it.
Okay, wow.
If you go to YouTube at... I can't believe I called my YouTube channel this. It's at Ethical Games Journalism, all one word. We have started something called that we're calling Project Revolution, where we are playing every Wii game ever released in North America in order of release date.
Oh, this is a mistake.
We have two episodes out now. I got two episodes on the back burner that I'm editing right now.
I've never heard of this one. Is the Avatar The Last Airbender game good?
Dude, it's so not good. It's so not good. I'll give Tony a link so that he can like drop that in into the description. Dude, I have a spreadsheet. You know, I'm really into doing things in chronological order is what I found out.
Holy shit. Are you gonna get to Dokapon Kingdom?
Dude, we're four games in and I hope so. I hate that game.
Andy, I am begging to be on the episode that you do Dokapon Kingdom.
You're going to have to make your way up here to Albuquerque if you want to do that.
Yeah. I bought the Steam version, and it is a slog, and I kind of love it.
I've tried to play that game like four times, and I just don't think it's good. I just think it's a bad game.
It is the most exasperating game I've ever played.
I'm also going to be releasing like other projects on that YouTube channel. Like, I'm a person who plays a lot of video games. I've had a lot of video game opinions over the years, and I'm just like, this is just going to be my outlet for that, I think.
Yeah, that's what I always think when I'm on the internet. I want another video game opinion. I say that as a white dude with a movie podcast.
Yeah, right. You know, it's just for fun. Again, like, none of this is for anything other than, like, just doing it for fun. I've been watching a lot of console challenges recently, and I was like, you know what? This is a lot more lighthearted and a lot easier on me editing-wise to do.
Do you know what I discovered?
Mm-hmm.
The Wii hurts my wrist, so...
Dude.
You might want one of those copper band things.
I have RSI in both of my wrists from working an office job for fucking 6 years of like intense programming. So I know all of the exercises to like keep my wrists good. But also, after every game, it's like, ooh, I'm feeling it.
My wrists hurt all through high school. And it wasn't until I was an adult and I played the Wii again that I was like, oh, this was why.
Yeah, a lot of kids getting tennis elbow from playing the Wii, I guess. So anyway, go check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've put a lot of thought into it. And like I said, there's already two episodes out now, and I got two episodes in the burner to that we just recorded that I'm going to be editing.
I am fully staring at this Avatar thumbnail, and this is the ugliest looking Avatar thing I have ever seen. It's a gorgeous show. How did they do this?
It's rough, dude. It sucks. I will say the only rule, like we have seven rules, but one of the hard rules is we only have to play the game for at least an hour, which is a godsend. Okay. Because
Dokapon Kingdom's like a 7 hour game.
No, for sure. We have made effort, like we've made room if a game is good enough that we want to finish it, that we will. So far that hasn't happened yet, but you know,
I'd be fascinated to see what happens when you guys get to Epic Mickey.
I actually own Epic Mickey on disc.
Yeah, I used to. I think gameplay wise it has like every problem that a Wii game has.
Yeah,
but I find it fascinating as like a
Disney product.
As a game. Yeah, as a Disney product.
Another game that we're going to get to play that is fascinating as a product is, what was that game series called? Star Wars The Force Unleashed.
Oh, I have played through that game so many times.
You know, just a different era of Star Wars.
That was like my favorite Wii game for a long time because it's not a good game, but you get to hold a lightsaber in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And there... I just remembered the fucking Gungan bounty hunter who says, "Yusa gonna die."
Yusa gonna die. Dude.
A different time.
Yeah. Time Honored Pictures is a fun project, and I want to get back to it in some form, but it was just too much work emotionally and also academically.
Are there good Wii games? It will be exciting to find out.
Dude, it really sucks that right now, what I'm looking forward to the most is Wii Sports.
Wii Sports is good. I mean, Wii Sports lists like 5 good games.
One of the greatest games of all time.
Certainly one of the greatest games of all time to come with a console.
Right? And we're gonna do a full tournament. That's my vow. Like, we're gonna do a full tournament of everything. Because we have to. But yeah, so yeah, go check that out. I sent Tony a link. It should be in the description. It is currently impossible to find without a link.
I mean, I did Google youtube.com ethical games journalism and it came up. But if I typed ethical games journalism, I don't think I would have found it. Oh, look what comes up. Don't Google that.
Yeah, don't Google that.
It's a very funny thing to a culture channel. Because it's poison to Google. Anyway, thank you to Scott Buckley for our theme, Homeward, which should be playing right now. It was hopefully probably playing a little bit earlier if we've ended this on time. I am the ghost of John Smith.
Rinkies.
Rinkies. Okay.
Man, I have accumulated so many Scooby-Doo fun facts over the course of like my life that I could just rip them off like one by one. That's not a proper turn of phrase, but you know.
No, it is not. No. No. Nobody's ever said that before.
But also as a Scooby-Doo aficionado, one of my goals as a child was to like master a Scooby-Doo impression. Which I have done. Oh no. I had a beverage and it has disappeared. Shit. All right, well, I'll have to do without.